So we're here to discuss a matter which is of remarkable relevance, aside from its general relevance, but it's number one, yesterday's Daf Yomi. You see on top in your first source, Kiddushim 31b, which many of you I know are Daf Yomi fans, and you've seen this Gemara yesterday. And number two, it also has relevance to the Parashat HaShavua, actually the very first pasuk in Parashat HaShavua. Lech lecha me'aretz ha'chamim v'oladet ha'chamim beis avicha, el ha'oretz asher areka. Avraham Avinu was told to leave his father's home and to go to Eretz Yisrael. And of course, this leads us to the general question of, this happened to Avraham Avinu, who was told explicitly by Hashem to leave his father and go to Eretz Yisrael. He had a koach and a nevuah. To him it was easy, he knew what to do. But what about for everybody else who's faced with this very difficult conflict? You want to move to Eretz Yisrael? On the other hand, your parents say, please stay in New York. What do you do in that kind of a situation? So one of the Lomdim already quoted me a Medrash. One of the sources says that Hashem Yisbarach Tzad Avraham Avinu, you are exempt from Kibud Av V'Em, but not everybody else. This Midrashic source would incline towards the suggestion that Avraham Avinu is in fact an exception, and the rule is, to the contrary, that Kibud Av V'Em has priority. Another somewhat of a proof to this is the last Rashi in Parashas Noach, where Rashi tells us, Vayomas Terach B'charon, Terach really hadn't died at that point in time chronologically. He lived, I believe, 60 more years after Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha. So why did the Torah say, Vayomas Terach B'charon? To sort of, you know what we call today? It's a cover-up. That's what we call today. It's a cover-up. It's a cover-up that we don't want it to make it so up front and center that Avraham Avinu left his aging father to go off to Eretz Yisrael. And you can figure it out from the math. The Rashi's math is explicit in the Psukim, but you take out our calculators, we don't figure it out. So the average individual thinks, Terach died! Avraham Avinu went to Eretz Yisrael. Didn't do the math to figure out that he lived 60 more years. So that gives an impression that the normal, regular thing to do is to take care of the parent and only then go to Eretz Yisrael. And not to leave a parent to go to Eretz Yisrael. So these are certain preliminary indications from our parasha, but of course we know in general, ein lemeidin mikoda matan Torah, there can't be hard and fast derivations from the epic before the Torah was given to Sinai. So we're going to go and analyze it from the perspective of the Talmud. That's our main source for anything, is the Gemara. Let's open together and see 31b. Here we have a beautiful rendition of the Gemara with the elucidation. Rav Asi Havale Ahi Ima Zekena. He had an older mother. Amale Bi'ina Tashitin. I want jewelry. Avadla. He made her jewelry. Bi'ina Gavra. She wanted to remarry. Now, there's no age at which it's too late to remarry. No matter how old she may have been, why not? Lo tov heyo sa'odam levada. It's not going to be by oneself, no matter at what age. Na'ayelach. Okay, I'll look for a husband for you. Then she said, Be'ina gavra d'shaper kavasach. I want a husband who's as handsome as you. Now here already, this was an indication that she had lost it. Because after all, she was a very elderly woman, obviously. And her son was a whole generation younger, a handsome gentleman in the prime of life, and it was a very, very inappropriate kind of a request on her part. And Rav Asi saw, it probably was her indications earlier than that as well, you don't make a decision based on one statement, that she was sort of losing it, and he found it impossible to deal with it. Some people are able to deal with parents even if they suffer from dementia, and we have tremendous, tremendous admiration for them. However, not everybody is in that level. Some people are just not able to deal with a parent who's not the parent that they knew. A parent that is just not there. Is spaced out and having some bouts of dementia. And so therefore, what did Rav Asi do? Shavka v'ozal aradi Yisrael. He left her and went to Eretz Yisrael. If you look in the footnotes, those who have a Gemara Kiddushin, maybe some of you have it with you from your Daf Yomi, or just in general have a Gemara with you. So I will read you from some of the originals. I have the Gemara Kiddushin in front of me, but since most of you do not have the Gemara proper, we'll read it from the art scroll that we have here. Again, it's the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph from the base. He quotes over here, he saw that his mother was demented. This is the Tosfos Re Hazaken. Tosfos Re Hazaken is printed on the side of every Gemara, where it says as follows. Hikir shenitrefa data uborach shelo yuchal lotzei sidei shamayim. He knew he would not be able to respect his mother properly. So he put her in good hands. Didn't just leave a hefka, chas v'shalom. Undoubtedly put her in good hands. And he went to Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam, referred to over here in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud, cited by the Ran, those who have a Gemara Kedushin with them, but look in the back, in the Ran, on this very daf, the Ran, on Daf Laman Alfman Beis, in the back. So the Ran quotes this Rambam, who says, presumably based upon this Gemara, that if one's parents are nitrifadata, then one may leave them and put them in good hands and go away. This is what the Rambam says. And I'll read you the lashon of the Ran quoting the Rambam. If he can, it's a much bigger mitzvah. As you know, we're not fans of what we'll call nursing homes or other such names. We try very hard to keep the parents in either in their own home or in the child's home to make it comfortable for them. And statistics tell us this increases their longevity. People live longer at either in their own home or in the children's home than they do in these other facilities, no matter how good these facilities are. That's just a reality. So we try our best, if we can, to keep them at home. V'im i'ev shalom, says the Rambam. You just can't do it. Everyone has to know his own limitations. Lamo, v'pneshen ishtatu v'yoser. Yanichem v'yelechlo. Should leave them alone and go on his way. But v'yitzava acherim lanhigam karor lehem. But of course, you have to put them in the care of proper caretakers. Undoubtedly is what Rav Asi did. And undoubtedly the source of the Rambam is this Gemara of Rav Asi. Harayvetz al hisigolo, and says ein zu horo im hu yelech umaniach lo. If he can't handle it, lemi yitzava l'shomro, then who will be able to do it to watch them? This question seems to be no question. The reason why the person can't handle it is because this is his father, his mother. He has such incredible honor for them and respect for them and reverence for them. Now that they're not themselves, he just can't handle it. Some of us have been through there. It's a very, very hard situation to deal with a parent. You have such respect and admiration and love and reverence. And now they're not the same person. You can't do it. As opposed to a professional caretaker who is somewhat more dispassionate and not emotionally involved, they can't handle it. I don't see the rabbit's kasha even on a practical level. But that's his kasha. But aside from that, this question is no question. Logically, he asks the Ran, what do you mean? What do you mean? Rav Asi is proof positive that you're allowed to leave an elderly parent and go off to Eretz Yisrael. So how can Rambam be wrong? He's pointing it up in the Gemara. Suggests the Ran, Ulai huzal sover, the dafka lemesek l'Eretz Yisrael, ve'ena mechuv. Maybe the Ravid thought that Rav Asi was only allowed to leave his mother in order to go to Eretz Yisrael. But says the Ran, it's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because it doesn't make any sense. Make up your mind. If you're allowed to leave them, you can leave them for any reason. If you're not allowed to leave them, leave them to go to Eretz Yisrael. That shouldn't be an excuse. This is the issue, because, and what's he in effect saying? If you're allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael, then even if they're not demented, what's it? In other words, 0 plus 0 is 0. If you're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael, if they're not demented, if you're not allowed to go to Chicago, if they are demented, then why are you putting the two together? If they are demented, you're allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't make any sense. Eina mechuba. At the end of the Shia, we'll try to get to an explanation of this interpretation, which the Ran suggests and rejects. We're going to try to resuscitate it towards the end of the Shia. Okay? If you have time. Fine. Let us now continue back on the Gemara. This was a feisty woman. Shoma de ka'ozlo bas abasre. Rav Asi heard she was coming after him to Eretz Yisrael. I guess the caretakers were not so good. She escaped. Those who know the business know this would not be the first or last time that an elderly parent escaped the caretakers. They've escaped hospitals with all the policemen and the guards there. It's known to happen. They're very wily and resourceful, and they escape. had in my neighborhood something very similar. Someone basically was wondering what's going to escape from a senior center. These kind of things. Okay. Also, the Kameh, Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, Ma'al, Lotes, Me'eretz, Achutzorz. Can I leave Eretz Yisrael? So, of course, Amalei also. You cannot leave Eretz Yisrael just like this. Then he adds the expression, Likras ima mahu. May I go meet my mother? What's the din? Amalei, Eini Odea. Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't know. That's strange. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gadol Hador, doesn't know. Israch Purta Hadaras. Ravasi waited a short while, returned to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Asi, Nisratzeis Alatzeis. You wish to leave? Hamokon Me'achzircha L'Shalom. May Hashem return you in peace. They give shot here in the faded print to bubble in peace. Most Mepharshim say, that's what Rashi says. Most Mepharshim say the other way around. May Hashem return you back to Eretz Yisrael in peace. That's how you and I would have learned. Okay. Fine. Okay? Here's a good question. Why did Rabbi Yochanan not know? And to make it much more complex, if he didn't know, then how come 5 minutes later he suddenly did know? So as I quip, what did he do? He called up Rabbi Moshe in the 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden he knew the answer. Yeah. That could be said about people like me, but Rabbi Yochanan, he was the Rabbi Moshe, he was the God of Ador. So what happened in the 5 minutes? He went to check his svarim. There was Star Shemapeh. What happened in those 2 minutes? That's a very perplexing issue. We'll see the Masha already asked this question. What happened in these few minutes? So I'll read you the lashon of the Masha, and we'll try to explain what he means if we can a little bit later. The Masha has a lot to say in this Gemara. Short piece of Gemara, but he has a lot to say. So the Masha says, Eini Odea, the Efshel the Gamishim for Kibbutz Aim also lotes in Eretz Yisrael luchutz lots. Okay, that's okay. Maybe, but Yochanan's allowed to entitled to say I don't know. Then he adds, Umishun the mitzvahs Kibbutz Aim hayachovim alei the Ravasi, because he was so beloved to him. Hader asin if ne'er Rabbi Yochanan lahatelos sveiko. He says, okay, if that's the case, go. What does that mean? If it's chavid, all of a sudden the halacha changes? What's the Masha talking about? We don't really fully grasp it. Again, we'll try to come back to answer this question as the shiur goes on. Let's now go to the concluding passage in this sugi, which is the top of column 2 in this source sheet. Adhochi behochi shoma la'arona deka'osi. A sad ending to the story. Ravasi heard that his mother's coffin was approaching. Amar, iyadi lo nafki. He said, if I had known that she would die before I reached her, I would not have left Eretz Yisrael. This is such a terrific question. Why would he not leave Eretz Yisrael? Isn't this a fulfillment of Kibbutz Aveh? To go to accompany the hearse, the coffin? What's happening over here? Why did Ravasi say that had he known that his mother would pass away, he never would have left Eretz Yisrael? The Masha asks this question as well. And his question is based upon the very next Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Mechabdo b'chayav u'mechabdo b'moso. One has to honor a mother even after her death. So why wouldn't he go in order to accompany the Aron? Says the Masha, Likras hameis kihocha Evsher she'ein mikri kovod lames. Going to accompany the Aron perhaps is not considered to be kovod lames. This is so counterintuitive. Everyone ever been in Levaya remembers what the rabbi says, we're here today to give the kovod Achron to Ploni. What do you mean? According to the Masha, it's not kovod. What's going on over here? I read you the Masha. Efshe she'ein mikri kovod lames. Doesn't ring. If you look at the Tosus Rihazah, okay, who is, again, as I said to you before, printed on the side of the regular Shas Vilna. He also is bothered by this. And he says as follows. She'ein ze mikovod she'achar misa. What does that mean? We have a specific example of Mechata B'moso. Let's read it together. B'moso Keita. It's the next to the last paragraph on column 2. Hamas would honor his father after the father's death. If he heard a Shtrash Torah Shtrashmua Mipiv, don't say Kach Oma Abba. This is what the father said. But rather, Kach Oma Abba Mori Hareini Kaparas Mishkova. So said my father, my master, may I be an atonement for his soul, for his resting place. Says Rashi, in footnote 22, I accept upon myself any evil that would befall his soul as a punishment for his misdeed in this world. This goes on for 12 months, and then you say, Zichvaron Nevrocha L'chayal Mabo. Why 12 months? As Rashi explains, that's the most that a person is judged, even in Gehenna. Okay. The footnote 23 discusses the issue of Kaddish, which we say for 11 months only. The post can talk about it. And if Yosef Engel on this daf says that our minig of saying Kaddish Yosef, which is not found anywhere in the Talmud, has been sort of a substitute for Hareini Kaparas Mishkava. Most people don't say it. They simply say Zechron Levrocha. And the reason being that we have a substitute for Hareini Kaparas Mishkava, which is Kaddish Yosef. Fine. So go back to the Tosus Riazachin who says, Ein Zemi Kovo Cha'achamisa. Kovo Cha'achamisa is very, very delineated, only referring to saying Kaddish, which is the equivalent of Reina Kaparas Mishkava, and accompanying a Levaya is not considered to be kovod for a deceased parent. Of course, the question becomes why. So what really is kovod? So the Gemara has this, you don't have in front of you, unless you have the Hebrew sheets. Those who have the Hebrew sheets can follow along. There's a maimah which I wrote in the Beis Yitzchok some years back, but in Kiddushin of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, towards literally the last line, Kibud Machel Umashke Malbish Umechase Machnis Umosi. Kibud Avaim is giving food and drink, and helping to get dressed, and helping to go in and out of the house. This is Kibud Avaim. That's Bechayev. What's Bemoso? What's an equivalent Bemoso? One might say that if indeed Kibud Av Va'Em is limited to functional assistance, perhaps we can make the following suggestion. Functional assistance is limited to these very cases. Help your father on with his slippers, bring him his tea, open the door for him. Those are the types of service which the Talmud delineates. But anything beyond that may not be considered a fulfillment of Kibud Av Va'Em. You'll ask, well, what about what we just saw? A person can say, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, that's considered to be Kibud Av Va'Em. So I give the example, what'll happen if it's very hot in the room, and the father tells the son, can you please put on the air conditioner? What would you say about that? Would that be included in this last line? Machal Mashka Malbish Mechas Machal Samos, yes or no? Yes, of course. So I say, in Gehenna, we need a very powerful air conditioner. We don't know exactly what it means, but something along those lines. So if the son says, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, as you saw quoted in the footnote from Rashi, that you want to take away some of the onus that your father has and bring it on yourself, we don't know if it really works or not. But if it really works, then you have put on the air conditioner. So you have fulfilled Kibud Av Va'Em. But just accompanying the Aaron, that's not service, that's just what we call honor. Sure, we call it honor. But technically speaking, if one takes this Gemara literally, the last line is limited to performing services, it's not within the category of Kibud Av Va'Em. Not like the Marsha, it's not Kavod Ameis. Of course it's Kavod Ameis. Like the Tosfos Riazakim, it's not Kavod Kibud Av. Again, Ein Zeh Mikavod She'achamisa, which is delineated as Kibud Av Achamisa, is limited to situations of providing services. However, the truth is that this idea of limiting Kibud Av Va'Em to providing services is quite difficult. Quite difficult. Let's take a look over here in our final unread paragraph over here. The second one in column 2. Tana Rabbanan Mechavda B'chayev. B'chayev Ketzat.
Hanishna b'devar aviv lamoko.
If in a certain place one will be heard for the sake of his father, lo yoma shalchuni bishvilatzi, maruni bishvilatzi, patruni bishvilatzi. Don't do it for my sake. Elukula bishvil abba. Everything should be requested for the sake of the father. This will, of course, elevate the honor of the father when it becomes known around that they're giving him such cover because of his father. Now, this doesn't give the father any services. Doesn't give him food. Doesn't give him drink. Doesn't give him clothes. Doesn't help him in or out. It just elevates his honor. So the simple read of this Gemara is that this is included in Kibud Av V'Em. And as the Ramban seems to say in his Perush on Chumash, Rabbi Kiva Eger expounds upon it in the Tshuva, when the Gemara says over here, Machal Mashka Malbash Machas Machal Samotzi, means even such fundamental basic services is also Kibud Av V'Em. But reverence and honor in a more general sense is certainly included in Kibud Av V'Em. That being the case, we're back to square one. So why isn't accompanying the Aron, going to helping in the Levaya, that should certainly be according reverence, again, according to the understanding based upon this paragraph, that just do it for my father's sake, is also considered to be Kibud Av V'Em. So we're left back with the question, why would Rav Asi not leave Eretz Yisrael if he would have known that his mother had passed away? Again, we gave an answer, not bad, but it doesn't seem to fit, assuming that Kibud Av V'Em is more broad than merely providing physical services. So with the Rashash in the back is bothered by this question, and he gives an interesting answer. As a matter of fact, if you look in the footnote over here on the Gemara, they give you a tease. They tell you, look in Rashash, end of footnote 14. Of course, they don't tell you what the Rashash says. This is not meant for people who are going to look up all the sources. But we have to know, what did the Rashash say? So, let me tell you what he says. The Rashash is bothered by that Ravid. The Ravid said, let's repeat one more time, that one may not leave an aging parent, even if they're demented. So the question became, it's against the Gemara. Rav Asi did leave his aging mother. Listen to what the Rashash says. Quite remarkable. Very innovative. Iyadi lo nafki. See over here in footnote 19, where it says, if I would have known she would die before I reached her, I would not have left Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Would not have left Eretz Yisrael. And footnote 19 says, he conferred no honor by going to meet his mother's coffin. That's exactly the problem which we don't understand. Tosfos Ri, Razak, and the Marsha. However, listen to what the Rashash learns. Iyadi detez al abasi v'tomas paderech. Had I known that she would follow me and escape the guardians that I placed in charge of her and die on the way, lo nafki mi bovel. I never would have left Babel in the first place. What a brilliant idea. The Chashash Pen Torah Haderech O Azivasa Wasa Gormu Misasa. Maybe the travail of the way, or the mere fact that he left to cause her anguish, hastened her death. What a guilt trip. Can you imagine having that guilt on your head? I would never have left Babel in the first place. Says the Rashash. That's how the Ravid understood. The Ravid understood that he left her in capable hands, but he regretted it. And therefore the Ravid said, you're not allowed to do it. It's such a brilliant answer. The Rambam says, you may leave, based on Rav Asi. The Ravid says, no, the Ranetz is against the Gemara. He says, yeah, because Rav Asi changed his mind. He had to not give me bubble in the first place. You shouldn't leave your parents no matter what. Isn't this remarkable? It's tremendous. Only one problem. We don't pass them this way. We pass like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. You may leave an aging parent. So again, back to square one. Again, we have two potential answers. Either that which limits Kibud Av V'Em just to physical services, and therefore attending a funeral would not be included. That doesn't, yeah, we don't, somehow doesn't, bothers us a little bit. Or the fact that in fact you may not leave an aged parent because Rav Asi changed his mind, which may or may not find favor in our eyes, but the Shulchan Aruch quoted the exact reverse. So we're left with a question. In order to answer this question, I want to go back to a fundamental analysis of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. The Rambam tells us that Kibud Av V'Em applies even to a parent who was, in his words, a Rasha, someone who does not keep the mitzvahs. Rambam says so explicitly. This is not a simple position. As a matter of fact, if any of you have the Gemara in the Kiddushin and look in the back, you'll see that the Shulta Givorim quotes that the Tur rejects the Rambam. Rambam is against the Befurish Gemara. What's the Befurish Gemara? The Gemara tells us that if somebody steals a cow, somebody steals a cow, and dies, the son is not required to return the cow to restore the honor of his father. The Gemara first says that you have to do it, and the Gemara asks, it's not true. Eino osa masa amcha. This person is not doing the deeds of an upstanding member of Klal Yisrael. And I want to emphasize again what I've said already in Shul a few times, that we see from here that an observant Jew is not just one who keeps Shabbos and keeps Kashrus, but someone who is honest. I'm often asked, how is it possible that an observant Jew steals? To which I respond the same way all the time. If he steals, he's not an observant Jew. You are limiting observance to the B'nan Lamakom, to the Shabbos and Kashrus. No. Here's the Gemara. He's not an Osir Masa Amcha, and he's not worthy of respect. Doesn't matter if he's Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, makes no difference. He's not worthy of respect of the child if he's Eina Osir Masa Amcha, because he's stealing a cow. That's a Gemara. You can't argue with Gemara. Gemara says so. Answers the Gemara were referring to a unique case. He did Tshuva, and he wanted to return the cow, but before he had a chance to return the cow, he passed away. Only then and only then. So those who want to look it up later, the Shulta Givorim, it's page 24 in the original riff, quotes the Rambam, Mamzer chayev kod ave v'ima, umaron. How did the Mamzer come about in this world? His very conception was based on a terrible Aveira on the part of the father or the mother. You say, Erva, not just Sam. Okay. Afilu hoya aviv rosho bal Averus. Even if you could, not just one Aveira, many Averus. He's a wicked person. Mechabdo misyar mimenu. The Torah said it's wrong. And he quotes the Gemara about the Pora Gazula. If Alma calls Manshlo as a tshuva, Eino chayav bechvodo. The Rambam is against the Mefurash Gemara. There's another Gemara in Pesachim about Chizkiyo HaMelech, that Giratz Mos Aviv, who's the Obed Avodah Zarah, same thing. This is the question against the Rambam. In order to answer this question, we have to posit two important assumptions. One, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel has an interesting discussion. Is Kibud Av V'Em a mitzvah beidon al makom? Or Beidon Lachaveru. Why would we say that it's Beidon Lamakom? On what basis? Anyone have an idea? No. The first Dibris. The Rabban Achumah says that. They said the first Dibris, the first five Beidon Lamakom, and the second five Beidon Lachaveru. Wow. As a matter of fact, there may be a source for this in the Gemara itself. Again, you don't have this Gemara in front of you. You have Laman Aleph and Beis, at least part of it. But the Gemara has enough Laman Amud Beis. Shlosha Shut Bnei Ba'odom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ve'ovim Ve'imo. Bizman Shetam Odom Mechaber Es Ovim Ve'imo. Om HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'al Yaleichem Kilo Dartem Beineyem Dartem Beineyem Ve'kibduni. So you honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu's partners, you're honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And as some other Mepharshim say, by honoring a parent, you will therefore accept the legacy of the parent, which is Torah mitzvahs. So therefore, Kibud Av V'Em can be viewed as a mitzvah ben Adon Lamakom. Or, no, it is an interpersonal mitzvah, a mitzvah b'nanim l'chaver. Like so many other mitzvahs you have to do towards the pravdurecha kamolcha, and again, don't steal, and if you owe money, pay back your debts, lo sashok, etc. There are numerous b'nanim l'chaver mitzvahs. What's the difference? It's minchas chinuch. If a person did not give sufficient honor to a father and a mother, you call them an Erev Yom Kippur, what do you say? Do you say, Agud Yontif, or Gemar Chasim Atova, which you certainly have to say? Or should you say, Abba Ima, please be merchel me that I didn't give you the proper respect? If it's a Benon Allah Chavero, you have to include the second part of the conversation. If it's Benon Allah Makom, you should have a Gemar Chasim Atova. Clap al chet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al chet shechatanu lefanecha b'zilzul horam amorim, and good, it's a b'nai l'makom. Like the same with the other al chet, you clap without having to ask mechila from another person, if it's a b'nai l'makom. That's what the Minchas Chinuch gives an afkamina between the two sides of his chakir. That's number one. Let's assume that the truth is that it's both. It's b'nai l'makom, and Benon Lachaver. I'm explain what that means. Benon Lachaver means it's the same as Shabbos. Benon Lachaver means it's the same as Gzela. Has both elements in it. Follow what I'm saying? Gzela we consider only Benon Lachaver. Even though, of course, Hashem is the one who commanded in those things, but it's viewed as interpersonal directly. Kibbutz Avayim has both elements. It's like Shabbos, and it's like Gzela. Both. That's how we're going to resolve this question. They're both right. Benon Lachaver and Benam Lachaver. Now assumption number two. Assumption number two can be found in the Tshuva of the Maram Shik, that there's only a mitzvah Benam Lachavero towards a live human being. There can be no mitzvah Benam Lachavero towards someone who is no longer amongst the living. That's what he says. That being the case, just draw yourself a little chart. If a parent is alive, there are two obligations of Benam Lamakom and Benam Lachaver. Once the parent is deceased, there is no longer the obligation of Benam Lachaver. However, there still exists what? Ben Adam Lamakom. Ah. But if a parent is wicked, is a Rasha, do you think that individual is a partner of a Kodesh Baruch? Don't you choose your partners carefully in business? I hope so. If you don't, you can have a financial meltdown. So you have to choose your partners carefully. So Hashem doesn't want to be a partner with someone who was considered to be a Russian. So therefore, let's just do a little, again, a live parent who was a tzaddik. And I hope that people in this room are privileged to have such parents who are alive and a tzaddikim. You have a double obligation. Benam l'makom, benam l'chaver. A person whose parent is deceased but was a tzaddik, you have Benad al-Lamakom only. A person who has a live parent who is a Rasha, according to the Rabbi, we have to give him covered. Why? Not to Benad al-Lamakom, but Benad al-Lachavero. He brought you or she brought you into this world. Forget what they're doing. If not for them, you wouldn't be here. You have an incredible debt to repay, because they brought you into this world. You can never repay it completely. So the Benad al-Lachavero exists even if the father or mother happens to be someone who is not behaving properly, who is what the rabbi calls a Russian. However, if the woman has two strikes against him, number one, you're not a tzaddik, and number two, you're dead. So now, the fact that the person is a Russian takes away the what? The ben adam lamako. And the fact that the person is deceased takes away what? The ben adam lachavera. So the cases in the Gemara, the person who stole the cow, or Chizkiyo's father, they were both a Rasha and deceased. Therefore, there's no obligation of Kibbutz Avayim. However, the Rambam is referring to a case of honoring a father and mother who are Rishoyim while they're still alive. And there is the Benam Lachavero aspect. Okay, so we have answered the, what we call the Shver Rambam, the difficult Rambam. That being the case, let's go back to the conflict that we're here to discuss this morning between the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael on the one hand, a very important mitzvah, and Kibbutz Avayim on the other hand. Avraham Avinu was told how to resolve it. We don't have that koach of nevuah. How do we resolve it? So let's see what the poskim say with this very, very thorny issue. The Pisrei Tshuva and Evan Ezer Ayin Hey Sifkat Vav quotes the Mabit that the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is so important that it overcomes the mitzvah of Kibud Av. And it's based on the Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara Yevamos says, as a father says, be mechal Shabbos, eat treif. Do you listen to him or not? Everyone knows what Rashi says on Chumash. It's a Gemara Kiddushin also, Yevamos rather. Ish imo v'aviv tiro, v'shapso say tishmoru. Don't listen to your father and the mother if they tell you to desecrate the Shabbos. So too, says the Mabit, they tell you to leave Eretz Yisrael. It's against the halacha. You're not allowed to listen to them. So writes the Mabit. The Pesachei Tshuva says, but the Tashbeitz disagrees. And look in Kiddushin of Lamed Aleph and Beis. Obviously he's referring to our Gemara. So Rabbi Avadya has in his Tshuva, Sichah V'das, Tashbeitz allows you to leave Eretz Yisrael Chutz Loretz in order to greet your parents, but to come back right away. As quickly as you can. Why? Because there are only two mitzvahs that you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for. What are they? Learning Torah and getting married. But in both cases, you're supposed to return when you finish learning or when you finish getting married. It may take a while to find the right shidduch. And if you're, as long as your Rebbe is alive, you can only learn from him, you will stick with that Rebbe. But the Gemara has a case about Ezra that got back to Eretz Yisrael until his Rebbe passed away. So, whatever, I'm only here temporarily. It could be a long time until you find the shidduch, until you learn as much as you can from your Rebbe. Whatever, but okay. So these are the only two exceptions. So even those who maintain that Kibud Av V'Em is also an exception, you have to come back right away. But what does right away mean? Again, right away, this could be open-ended. But that's what he says in his tshuva. So we understand very well, he claims, why Rav Asi only went to greet his mother and didn't expect to go back to Bavel and stay the long term. That could be Pshat HaMokom Yavzirich HaLashalom. Go take care of your mother and come back. Well, it's not so clear. And the question becomes, why is it that Kibud Av V'Em in fact is included? Tosfos gave only two exceptions based on the Gemara. Only to get married and only to learn Torah. And Kibud Av, Yishev Eretz Yisrael is so important that only two can overcome it. And Kibud Av V'Em is not on the list. What they call it is a short list. I don't know about short lists. The short list is only getting married and learning Torah. We don't see Kibud Av V'Em on that list. What's going on? What's happening? So I want to explain as follows. The following scenario. This could happen to you. Somebody borrows money from you in order to start a business. Okay. So I'm told there's some tight credit these days. So, but you're a friend of his. You lend him $1 million to start a business. Okay. Hope you have a few more million in the bank. Okay. Fine, we're not discussing it until the last million. You have 10 more in the bank. You're lending him one. Worst case, it'll be by Eaton or Meissen Mikol. You just read yesterday, it'll be a Meissen Sofen. It'll be a whatever. Okay. Next week in Shul, Parshas Lech Lecha, the rabbi gets up in Shul and gives a fiery sermon. How it's important to move to Eretz Yisrael. We should go to Eretz Yisrael, and that's the place where people belong in Eretz Yisrael. Wow. Good rabbi, fiery sermon, good balabos. Next morning, there are two for sale signs. One on his house and one on his business. So the creditor passes by in his car on the way to shul Sunday morning. He says, what's this? He says, weren't you in shul yesterday? Didn't listen to what the rabbi said. He said, it's a mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael. You have to pick up and go. Oh, he says, you're such a big tzaddik. I'm my cheshbon. You know, you can't pay me back $1 million and go to Eretz Yisrael and sell your business. What do you mean? The rabbi said. So let's go to the rabbi. They go to the rabbi, the two balabatim. One says, you said rabbi, go to Eretz Yisrael. He says, he owes me $1 million. There's no way you're going to pay me back. So if you were the rabbi, who would you side with? I'm asking you.
Malva.
Correct. The malva. The malva wins. The can't move until he pays back the debt. Why? The only two mitzvahs that are more important living in Eretz Yisrael. What are the two? getting married and learning Torah. I'm already married and I'll learn more Torah in Eretz Yisrael. What are you talking about? The answer is, that's a short list of mitzvahs ben onan la'makom that trump the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Ben onan la'chaveira, to pay back a debt? Of course that has to be, but you can't be a tzaddik on someone else's cheshbon if they're paying back a debt. This everyone understands. Well, guess what? As much as you owe to a creditor, it can even be $1 million, you owe more to your father and mother. They brought you into this world. And that's why, according to this analysis, the obligation of repayment of the debt, the interpersonal obligation you have towards your father and mother is so strong that it outweighs and overrides the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Now we know the answer of Rav Avadya's question. Why Kibud Av V'Aim is not on the short list? The short list is Ben Adam L'Makom, and Kibud Av V'Aim is Ben Adam L'Chaveir. With this we can go back to our original question. Why did Rav Asi say, had I known that my mother died, I would not have left Eretz Yisrael? Isn't it in the midst of Kibud Av V'Aim to go to the Levaya? The answer is absolutely yes. But to go to a Levaya is only the Ben Odom LaMokom aspect of Kibud Av V'Aim. As we said before, Ben Odom LaChaveiro is only when the other person is alive. And the Ben Odom LaMokom aspect of Kibud Av V'Aim is not sufficient to override the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. This would explain, we don't have to accept the difficult assumptions that we said before, either of the Rashash or the Tosfos Riyazakeh. No! We understand it beautifully. And with this, we can attempt to explain Rabbi Yochanan's two responses. One, Rabbi Yochanan said, Eini Odeya, not because he didn't know. He knew. He wasn't sure what was impelling Rav Asi to leave Eretz Yisrael to greet his mother. Was it what we'll call in our language, Frumkeit, Benon Alamokom? Or was it no? Benom Lachaveiro, he's felt an interpersonal responsibility for his mother. The difference would be, would it warrant leaving Eretz Yisrael? Since he didn't know, and perhaps for whatever he didn't want to ask, he gave the good rabbinical dodge. Any other? Okay. Perhaps he even anticipated what was going to happen. If it was a Frumkeit, and the rabbi said, I don't know, okay, so the rabbi doesn't know, so I'm not going anywhere. Stay put, Sheva Tas Adif. But if it's a Benon Lachaveiro, Rav Asi would come right back, as he did, because it was bothering him. He felt he had to discharge his personal responsibility towards his mother. So when he came back, Rav Yochanan said, Asi nisratzei salatzeis hamokam yachzir chalashalom, which means what the Marsha said, it's a mitzvah chaviva, beloved, but not just an abstract, how do we measure chavivas on a 1 to 10 scale. No! The fact that he came back right away to bother Rav Yochanan indicated to Rav Yochanan that it was the Ben Adam LaChaveiro aspect that was impelling him to go. And if that's the case, he may go! A very interesting interpretation as to what Rav Yochanan's suffix was at the beginning and how it was resolved in such short order. Perhaps that's what the Marsha meant when he said it became more chaviv. In the remaining few minutes, I want to make two more comments to wrap up. We can make the following suggestion. Listen very carefully. Perhaps this chat I just gave is a little bit far-fetched. Shouldn't we assume that the typical individual who goes to take care of a parent has the Ben Adam LaChaveiro aspect in mind? And they have both in mind. But why would Rabbi Yochanan suspect that perhaps that he would not have it in mind? Here's the answer. When we do mitzvahs with an interpersonal responsibility, we often do it because of the interplay between us and somebody else. But unfortunately, in this case, the mother was demented. The mother wouldn't understand what it's all about. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan felt, in this particular case, we have to worry about the possibility Rav Asi is only doing it for the sake of Ben Adam LaMakom, because there's not much Ben Adam LaChaveiro over here since his mother was no longer really with it. This being the case, I want to give an answer to that original point that we made that the Ran suggested and rejected. Just to refresh your memories. The The Rambam said that one may leave an aging parent based upon what Rav Asi did. The Ravid said, you may not leave an aging parent. He asks the Ran, I don't understand what the Ravid is talking about. The Mefurash Gemara, which confirms the opinion of the Rambam. Unless, Ulai Hoya Huzal Sover, the Dafka Lamesik L'Eretz Yisrael, the Eino Mechuvah. Maybe he felt, did the Ravid, that you can only leave an aging and demented mother to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because it doesn't make any sense. As I said before, 0 + 0 = 1. Why should it be permitted if you can't leave your demented mother to go to California, and you can't leave a healthy mother to go to Eretz Yisrael? So why, if you leave a demented mother to go to Eretz Yisrael, the son becomes permissible? That's why the Rav presumably said about this suggestion that it's Eino Mechuvah. Perhaps you make the following suggestion. When it's Nitra Fadaito, there's no longer a mitzvah of kibud av v'eim ben adam l'chaveiro. Because they don't understand it. The mother Nebuch doesn't understand what you're doing. Some of them don't even recognize you sometimes. We know these sad cases. So there's no ben adam l'chaveiro aspect. They don't understand it. Or, another suggestion I want to suggest. Why is it that there's no ben adam l'chaveiro towards someone who's no longer alive? The Maram Shik doesn't explain why. Rav Shechta Shalita has in his Sefer, Be'ikvei Hatzon, Siman Yuzayin, that Ben Adam Lechaveiros is fundamentally a social contract. I help you, so you should help me. And that's why, if a person performs a Chesed Shel Emes towards someone who's no longer alive, it's called Chesed Shel Emes. It's not the regular Gemidas Chasad, because the person can never pay back. And I believe he cites the Abarbanel, or others, Kibiglal Hadavar Hazeb, it's a Galgal Achozer. It's a social contract. You help me when I'm down, I'll help you when you're down, etc., etc. That being the case, Nitra Fadata was in no position to ever reciprocate. Okay. This being the case, for whatever reason, there's no Ben Chavero in Nitra Fadata, either because they don't understand or because they can't repay, but there's still a Ben Adam LaMokom aspect. Still a partner with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, still a shutzim ba'adam, still a partner with Hashem. However, we said before, that in a case in which a person passes away, right, so then, what do we say? Excuse me, with respect to the Menon La-Mokom aspect, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael has priority. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael has priority over the Ben Adam La-Mokom aspect of Kibud Av'eim, and only loses to the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro aspect of the mitzvah of Kibud Av'eim. This being the case, we can make the following suggestion. You can only leave them in a combination of factors. Nitra Fadata, this removes the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and to go to Eretz Yisrael, which overcomes the Ben Adam L'Mokom aspect. So therefore, what we thought before was Eina Mechuvah, because how can 0 + 0 = 1? The answer is no, it's a half and half equal one. That each element is discussed separately. Again, one more time. The Ravid may be defended, as the Rana suggested, by saying that you can leave an aging and demented parent only to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why should that be? Here's the answer. If it's Nitra Fadata, there's no longer Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, either because they don't recognize you or because they can't reciprocate, but there's still a Ben Adam L'Mokom. But as far as the Ben Adam L'Mokom aspect, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael has priority. So we explain this interpretation of the Ran as well. Baruch Hashem, we had an interesting discussion in the midst of Kibud Av'eim as compared to Eretz Yisrael based on the Daf Yomi, the Parsha Shavua. We should all be zocher to fulfill this mitzvah in any way possible. L'man Yarichon Yomecha, Amen V'Yomecha.